Everyone, special welcome to visitors to this day on this Christmas morning as we have this opportunity to gather together to worship our Lord. After the service, there's the kids' program, and then after that, there'll be a lunch which everybody's invited to. Before the service, let us sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
In the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, on this Christmas morning, let us begin by singing in our psalters from Psalter 261. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he has wrought. 261, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, we turn to Luke chapter 2 on this morning. Luke chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 20, and then we'll make confession of our faith with Article 18 of the Belgic Confession, which you'll find in the back of your Psalters on page 13. So first, Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far the reading of God's Word. Our text for this morning's Christmas service is verse 19. We read, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." We then read from Article 18 of our Belgic Confession concerning the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You find on page 13, Article 18. And we confess the following. We confess, therefore, that God did fulfill the promise which he made to the fathers by the mouth of his holy prophets, which he sent into the world at the time appointed by him, his only begotten and eternal Son, who took upon him the form of a servant and became like unto man, really assuming the true human nature with all its infirmities, sin excepted, being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit without the means of man, and did not only assume human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. Therefore we confess that Christ assumed human flesh of his mother, that Christ is become a partaker of the flesh and blood of the children, and that he is the fruit of the loins of David after the flesh, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary, made of a woman, a branch of David, a shoot of the root of Jesse, sprung from the tribe of Judah, descended from the Jews according to the flesh, of the seed of Abraham, since he took on him the seed of Abraham, and became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted, so that in truth he is our Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. Let us respond by singing together from Psalter 49. Psalter 49, we sing all three stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, at this time we sing together from Psalter 112. 112, and we sing all the stanzas. Congregation, we respond to the sermon by singing together from Psalter 28. Psalter 28, we sing all the stanzas. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do we respond to the birth of our Lord Jesus? When the shepherds were told of Christ's birth by the angels, they said to one another, "Let us now go up to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went to Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph with the child lying in a manger. And how did they respond to that? We read that when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so there were various responses to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds went to see him, and after seeing him, they made known these things which had been told to them about him. And those who heard these things from the shepherds, we read that they marveled about all which they had been told. But in our text in verse 19, we read of how Mary responds. We read there, "But Mary," it says in verse 19, "kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary kept all these things, or as some translations have, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so first we consider what Mary knew and experienced, the things that she treasured in her hearts. And then secondly, we consider how Mary pondered these things in her heart and what implications it had for her life and the world. So our theme will be the contemplations of Mary. We'll see how she was treasuring these things in her heart first. And then secondly, we'll see how she was pondering these things in her heart. Well, what were the things that Mary treasured, or as our translation has, kept in her heart? There's no doubt that Mary treasured Jesus as a newborn, firstborn son. There's no doubt that she loved her baby as any mother loved her firstborn. But that's not the point of verse 19, because virtually every mother loves their child and treasures their child in a matrimonial sense. But this image of treasuring or keeping in her heart, it has this sense of storing up things in her heart and in her life. This was not a momentary, fleeting perusal of the events that had transpired, soon to be forgotten, but it's something that was implanted, something that she protected, something that she fixed in her memory. You know how that is sometimes when you want to remember something and you make a conscious effort to do so. I do that sometimes when I have something important and I put it in a certain spot. Then I make a mental record that I put it in a particular spot, not just putting it in a drawer, but consciously putting it there and even saying to yourself, I need to remember that this is where I put it. And so Mary had that understanding when she kept these things or treasured these things in her heart. Now, this is actually the first of two records which refer to Mary treasuring things in her hearts. The first one is in our text, but the next one occurs at the end of Luke chapter 2, where we also read that his mother, after they were in the temple, you remember, and that experience they had there, and then they found Jesus with the teachers of the law and conversing with them, and it says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she kept all these things in her heart. Now, what are these things? We can think of many of Mary's experiences that were unfolding in her life. There was the story of the infertility of Mary's elderly relative Elizabeth, or of the vision given to Elizabeth's husband Zacharias as he served in the temple, telling him of John's upcoming birth, or of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist, or of the archangel visiting Mary, at which time she was told that she was going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit, or the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, and of the great song of redemption that came pouring from Mary's lips, or the birth of John the Baptist to Elizabeth and Zacharias, or of Mary's pregnancy and their journey to Bethlehem with Joseph. And then the birth of the Lord Jesus as recorded in the chapter we read in Luke chapter 2. And then after his birth, there's the visit of the shepherds who brought the news of the angel's appearance to them. So much had happened to this young girl in her life as a mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these were very unusual events for anyone to experience. And so many people marveled at them. And Mary is the one who experienced all of them. And no doubt these were part of the things that she treasured up in her hearts, that she kept in her heart. This word actually means to safeguard, to defend, to lock tight, to cherish, to protect it. It is treasuring things up. But not only did Mary treasure things up concerning the birth of the child, but because it's recorded later in this chapter, also in verse 51, we know that those are also things that she treasured in her heart. There was a circumcision in the naming of the Lord Jesus. There was Jesus' visit to the temple and the encounter they had with Simeon, and then later the encounter with Anna. Of the visit to Jerusalem at the Passover when Jesus was 12 and when they lost him and found him 3 days later among the teachers in the temple. And they all conclude with those similar words to our text, and the mother treasured up these things. Mary treasured up these things. Mary kept, it says, all these things in her heart. She stored the memories of everything that had to do with Jesus. Now, Mary's probably the one who told Luke of these events in some way, since many of them were only known to her. Only Mary knew what the angel Gabriel had said to her and what she had said to him. And only Mary knew what Elizabeth said to her and what she sang in response. Only Mary and Joseph, I suppose, too, knew what Simeon had said when he took Jesus in his arms in the temple. And if Mary had not shared all these events with Luke in some way, they would not have been written down. Maybe she even kept a record, you might say, a baby book, where she recorded these events. And perhaps Luke had access to that. We don't know. But there was a way in which she stored them up so that she could repeat them later in her mind and in her heart, and she shared them with others, and she treasured all these things. But what is it particularly referring to in our text? Mary kept all these things. What is that referring to? Because notice at the beginning of our text it says, but Mary kept all these things. If we're going to understand it in its context, we have to look back to verse 17. It says there, if you look at 17, now when they, the shepherds, had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And what was it that the shepherds had heard? Well, you need to go back even further to verse 10 and 11 for that, where the angels came to the shepherds saying, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now the shepherds, they marveled over the revelation of the angels and the good news. Mary, she treasured these events, and she particularly treasured what was told her of the shepherds. Why was it? What was it that particularly affected her? Well, if you read through the life of Mary, the song of Mary in Luke chapter 1, and how she responds at various times in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that what she particularly treasured up was that he was Christ. He was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It was this truth about the identity and the destiny of this baby Jesus that she particularly treasured in her heart. Those words of the shepherd that Jesus was a Savior who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. The one who had delivered, who she had delivered, would soon deliver her. He was not a Savior to just her personally, but to all who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this news resulted in the angels breaking forth into doxology in the sky, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Now, shouldn't we treasure the same in our hearts? What do you particularly treasure about the Christmas story? Is it the fact that Jesus came to be our Savior? Isn't that something, above all other things, something to treasure? To treasure something, I read this definition of someone, To treasure something means that you would gladly give the whole world to get it, and you would joyfully refuse the whole world to keep it. What do you treasure in that way? What do you treasure that means you would gladly give the whole world to get it, or that you would joyfully refuse the whole world to keep it? Isn't that how we should look at the salvation which the Lord Jesus Christ has provided? Are you treasuring up that in your heart? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is this more important to you today than any other thing that is present here in this world? If that isn't most important to you today, then you have no idea what the value is of what Christ provides. If you are treasuring something else, you must realize that whether it's a block of gold or a lump of coal, that in the end both are equally ineffective in purchasing joy and forgiveness and peace or eternal life. It doesn't matter in the day whether you present the Lord with a lump of coal or a brick of gold. Neither one can purchase eternal life. Don't be deceived of that treasure that looks like treasure but is not infinitely valuable. You see, when something's a treasure, it has infinite value. And what good is a block of gold, a brick of gold, when eternal riches are compared to it? What good is all the world and all that is in the world compared to eternal life? Because that which is in the world is passing and it fades away. And if we treasure that up in our heart, then in the end, we've made us a bad deal. If we sold our soul for what is offered in this life, but we do not seek eternal life in Jesus Christ, we are foolish, aren't we? Because in the Lord, we are given eternal life. And through faith in Him, we are given a treasure which is beyond compare. And isn't this what Mary in particular treasured up in her hearts? That salvation which God was going to provide through her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was laying there in a manger. And this all comes to us by faith in the Lord Jesus, trusting and resting in the person and the work of our Savior. And if you're doing that, then you're treasuring up for yourself an eternal reward. You're treasuring up for yourself eternal life in Christ. This is what Mary treasured as she gazed upon the face of the Son of God lying in the manger on that first Christmas. Now, if you owned a precious diamond, you wouldn't leave it on your kitchen table where anyone could take it. And at the same time, you wouldn't lock it away, at least not permanently, in a safe where you couldn't admire it and appreciate its beauty. And that's similar to the way that Mary treated the marvels that was happening to her. She appreciated the diamonds that God was giving to her. She guarded them carefully because she didn't want to lose them, but she also kept them in the forefront of her mind so she could fix her gaze on what God was doing in salvation. And that mystery unfolded in her heart more and more. Because notice, secondly, that Mary not only treasured up these things, but she also pondered these things in her heart. Now that word is not unlike the word ponder. It literally means to throw things together. She played or replayed these things in her mind. She was putting, you might say, as we say together, putting two and two together. We say that nowadays. She was figuring out things. She was adding up things which were told to her, and she was talking to herself. She wasn't speaking out loud. She did so in a quiet, reflective manner. This was the way she pondered. She said little, but she kept all these things. She pondered them. She put all the evidences together, and she kept them and compared them with her experiences as the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more she saw how that she was highly favored among men. She had the same perspective, didn't she, when the angel came to her and called her highly favored. Then we read she was troubled at his saying, but what did she do? She considered what manner of greeting this was. She pondered it. She reflected upon it. And similarly, when she was told she was going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit, she says, how can this be? It wasn't a question of rebellion or resistance to this revelation. She was just reflecting upon it, and she said, how can this be? She pondered, what does the angel mean? And she knew that she was blessed, for she said, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, she said. She understood. And at the birth of the Lord Jesus, after hearing that the shepherds had been told by the angels that Jesus was Christ the Lord, she treasured this in her heart and she pondered these things. Now, we read that some people marveled, and that, of course, is a good thing. But to ponder is to go beyond marveling, isn't it? Others marveled. Mary tried to take hold of the angel's promises and ponder their significance. She wanted to know exactly what this good news of great joy was that had been announced in the fields by the angels. And she wanted to know why the heavenly host gave glory to God. And she wanted to know why there was on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And she sifted through all this and she realized it had its foundation, the fact that Jesus was the Savior. And she tried to take everything in that was happening so she could understand what was unfolding. And these were very strange events for this young lady. She had been waiting for the Messiah. She had been pondering the Scriptures. She had been considering what it meant, these terms that were being floated about, Savior, Messiah, great, the Son of the Highest, and what could they all mean? Well, Mary knew what they meant. You can read it in Luke chapter 1. She sang about them. She sang about them. And so in answer to the question, Mary, did you know? We must realize she did know the significance of this little baby lying in the manger. And she learned it because she pondered those things which had been revealed to her. She believed them by faith. She knew them to be true. And she realized the significance of them for her life, that this child which she delivered would soon deliver her. And she realized the significance of it for the nation. She knew her child to be the Son of God, a glorious being. Not of earth had told her that her boy would be the Savior of Israel. The visit from these rough shepherds to praise this baby Jesus and their story at the manger, it only confirmed what she already knew. She couldn't grasp it all. No doubt the fullness of it was not clear to her. There were times when she was confused. Even in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, there were times she asked questions of the Lord Jesus, which showed that her understanding was yet limited, but she had faith. She bowed herself in a quiet, trustful faith and waited and pondered upon the things of God. Precisely how much she knew, the New Testament doesn't reveal to us, but she wasn't naive about the fact that he was the Messiah. After Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a son, the angel told her about Elizabeth, who conceived in her old age. And Mary, remember, she traveled to see Elizabeth, who, upon hearing Mary's greeting, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, confirming the angel's words. And Mary then praises God, remember? These verses are fascinating in Luke chapter 1. They show that she understood the Scripture. She knew the Old Testament, and she understood the prophecies, all the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. She had them in her mind and in her heart. She was, as a young girl, she was very young yet. We don't know how old she was, 13, 14, 16, something like that. But she knew all these Old Testament prophecies. She was able to weave them together in this song of praise to God. Now, shouldn't we actually be doing exactly the same? Shouldn't we connect even what's happening in our life with the Word of God? Shouldn't we contemplate the things of God, what God has revealed to us through His Word, through the Scriptures, particularly concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's provided for us in salvation? Shouldn't we contemplate what is meant by justification, that we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That we are declared to be righteous. Isn't that something to ponder and to reflect upon? Isn't that something to consciously consider how it has implications for our life? Shouldn't we consider how that we are holy in Christ? What are you pondering in your life? You see, I'm afraid that we so often ponder the wrong things. What do you treasure up? What do you store up in your heart? Maybe you're pondering what someone's done to you. Maybe you're pondering some hateful statement that someone made about you. But what's the result of that kind of pondering in your heart? Doesn't it stir up strife? Doesn't it stir up bitterness? Doesn't it stir up anger and resentment? If we ponder the wrong things, our hearts become fertile ground for sin to grow. But you can be sure that if you ponder the things of God, as the works of God are revealed in His Word, and as you ponder those things, whether it is a child, you ponder the stories that are told to you in Sunday school, as an adult, you ponder the deep theological truths that are in the Scriptures, then over time you will reap fruits of righteousness. Let us ponder what God has revealed to us in His Word. Not all the what-ifs. Do you realize that when we are worrying, do you ever realize that we're pondering the what-ifs? Is a worry always pondering the what-ifs in our life? That's why the Lord says, do not worry. So instead of worrying, what shall you ponder? Well, ponder the idea that the Lord cares for the sparrows of the air and the flowers of the field. And will He not also care for you? You see, pondering the what-ifs result in doubts and fears and sin and causes us to doubt the promises of God. But let us pray with the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and then the meditation of my heart, the pondering in my heart, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Matthew Henry says, the truths of Christ are worth keeping, and the way to keep them safe is to ponder them. Meditation is the best help to memory. It is, isn't it? If you reflect upon what God has given in Christ, if you reflect upon the gospel in your life and in your heart, if you treasure up those things which God has revealed to us and ponder them, and we connect our experiences then in life with the things that we've pondered, then we see the blessings of the Lord. We can ponder the promises that He promises that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then we say, but whoever believes, just ponder that word, whoever, for the rest of the day if you're unbelieving and unrepentant, and ask yourself, am I one who belongs to whoever? Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He promises to supply all our needs in Christ Jesus. He promises that His grace is sufficient for us. He promises to be with us. You ever feel lonely and alone? Do you ever feel isolated? He promises never to leave you nor forsake you, to hold you in the palm of His hand so that no one will ever be able to snatch you from His hands. And so let us ponder. Let us ponder these things of God. And then our gaze will not be upon the troubles and distractions that are before us, but it is the Word which will lighten our path and guide our way. And as we ponder the truths of the Word of God, it means that we come to know the Savior, this little child, not only as He was born in Bethlehem, but as He lived and suffered and died at Calvary, as He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Pondering these truths will give you comfort and peace in life. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Exactly what Mary knew isn't revealed to us, but she knew by faith that he was the Savior who was Christ the Lord, and so can you. Amen. In our closing prayer, we'll also remember the three dear sisters mentioned in your bulletin. Ellie Van Unen and Grace Vink have their birthday today, and her sister Nancy Youngerden has her birthday on Thursday. None of those three sisters are here present. Ellie has gone to Holland for a number of weeks, and our sister Grace Vink and Nancy Youngerden are in their homes, of course, as shut-ins, but we will pray for them this morning. Let's come before God in prayer. Gracious and eternal God and Father, we come into your presence and we're thankful for what you have revealed to us in your word, that we might reflect and treasure up these things in our hearts, that we might ponder them. We might ponder that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And in that is our hope for eternity. Lord, when we treasure up this in our hearts, we know that there is a treasure laid up in heaven for us, which fades not away. And as we reflect upon what has begun at Christmas and what continued in the life of Christ and what will be completed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we realize there is lots for us to ponder. There is lots for us to think about and reflect upon. And there's great comfort to be received in doing so. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. Be with us also with the Sunday school children as we gather with them for their program after this service, and give us a blessed time with them. We pray for those elderly sisters whom we've just mentioned a few moments ago, for our sister Ellie Van Unen and our sister Grace Vink, who hope to celebrate or who are celebrating their birthday today, and also our sister Nancy Youngerden, who hopes to celebrate her birthday on Thursday. And we pray, gracious God, that these would continue to give a testimony of their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would live faithfully before you. Give them a blessed day with their family and friends. And we pray that you will continue to sustain and strengthen them in their weakness and frailty. We think particularly of our sister Vink and sister Youngerden. Be with them and comfort them, and also grant them the hope that the birth of Christ grants to them. Lord, we pray that you will be with us through the rest of this day, keeping us in your safekeeping and your care and all that transpires in the days to come. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we will